church. And I don't know, we gotta get together sometime, maybe, and do a duet or something, right?
What am I supposed to do with this?
Just sit right there.
Oh, that's just gonna sit right there. All right. Very good. It's always a pleasure every time that I have had the opportunity to come and to speak. Hey, would you hold it down over there? I'm trying to preach. Man alive.
You haven't paid
yet. I haven't. I take back everything I just said. And but boy, what a blessing this has already been this evening. And many of you, I do recall seeing your faces. And just thank you for your faithfulness and being here in this ministry for so many years. I'm sure many of you have been here for decades and faithfully serving the Lord. And then got to have some dinner over here with two younger couples and new to your church. And that's always a good sign of a growing church, isn't it? Of new families that God brings to you. I was telling somebody here recently, just a few months ago, I had an assistant pastor that resigned and moved on to a different ministry. And one of the things that he did was to teach our couples Sunday school class. And the Lord just laid on my heart that my wife and I just needed to step in and take that ministry. We've been doing that now since August, and just been wonderful for us to really connect with the couples of our church. I love marriage, and my wife and I will celebrate 30 years. I know you don't think that I look that old. I know that's what you're... Come on, how many of you thought that, really? Come on now. But 30 years this coming June the 1st. And it's been the 30 of the greatest years of my life. I've loved it. We had two daughters, and one daughter got married 6.5 years ago. Great, gave me my first grandbaby 9 months ago. I know what you're thinking. That's the youngest looking grandpa I've ever seen as well, right? But then my baby daughter, who actually knew Nathan and Sam out at West Coast, she'll be getting married in about 6 weeks, maybe from last night, I think, 6 weeks from last night. And just a wonderful time of life, isn't it? How many of you are kind of in that era of life as well? That empty nest syndrome? How many of you, you're over there? How many of you are loving it? All right. How many of you have more money than you used to when they were... Sam, don't you tell Caitlin I said this, but I told my wife, 6 weeks from now, she's off my payroll. Amen. And especially when you have daughters, you know. I saw a little meme a couple years ago, and it said, had this little girl just throwing cash out the window, and it said, this is what it's like raising daughters. And so anyway, but I've loved this church, and we are sister churches.
Yes, sir.
We work together. Our Christian schools are in the same association, and we find arts together. I think we play basketball maybe with you all. And it's just been an honor.
No, you don't.
Really. No, we don't? Y'all don't have a basketball team this year? All right. Well, I guess we don't. I guess that was another Lighthouse that we beat badly. And
you wouldn't know that we
absolutely. If you brought your Bible tonight, let's get to the Word here. 2 Timothy. And chapter number 2, please. 2 Timothy and chapter number 2. I will be praying specifically for Nathan and Sam. It seems as if they have some issues. Would you? How many would agree with me about that? And some deep-rooted marital issues. And I don't know. I thought your daddy would have taught you better, Nathan. But anyhow, you shouldn't treat Sam like that. You really shouldn't. But I tell you what. I think we've all been there, haven't we? I think all of the men here would say there have been some times where we stuck our foot in our mouths, right? And my daddy pastored for 40 years, and he used to say Peter in the New Testament, he was so impetuous. And he said Peter should have had chocolate shoes because he always had his foot in his mouth. Amen? And I think sometimes we as husbands often do that as well. Tonight I'd like to talk to you on the subject, how to prepare for a golden marriage. How to prepare for a golden marriage. Let's look in our Bibles here tonight, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and verse number 20 and 21. I'll read for us. And the Bible says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Let us pray and ask God's blessing on these moments that we'll spend together. Father, we do thank you for the lovely meal that we've enjoyed together, the sweet fellowship. Lord, thank you for the spirit of Lighthouse Baptist Church, and thank you for the spirit of this dear man of God. Thank you for Brother Walsh. Lord, his decades now of faithful service to the Lord Jesus. And now for these years here at Lighthouse, I pray, oh God, a special blessing on this church as they move forward and into 2020. Thank you for the good men and ladies that work with him. Now, Lord, tonight I pray that you'll help me to be a blessing. Lord, I do love marriage and the concept of marriage. We thank you for the Bible, the book on relationships. And God, I pray you'll help me to give some good thoughts now this evening for all of us that are married to take away from here and, Lord, to apply to our own marriages and lives. May we be better Christians and may we have better marriages because of our coming tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in our text this evening, we find the word gold and silver. You know, and I said the title of the message tonight is How to Prepare for a Golden Marriage. Is there anybody here that you have already celebrated your golden wedding anniversary? That would be 50 years. Anybody you've celebrated your 50th anniversary? Let's give them a hand. Can we do that first tonight? Amen. Does anybody know what we call the 25th anniversary? We call that our silver. Is there anybody here that maybe this year is your 25th wedding anniversary? Anybody like that? All right, how many have already passed 25? You've gotten to that milestone as well. I said a moment ago, Mrs. Bain and I will celebrate 30 years, and I had to look this up on the internet. Does anybody know what the 30th anniversary, what the gift is, or what it's kind of called? It's the pearl anniversary. I should not have said that. Now I know what she's going to be expecting in June, right? But anyhow, sweetheart, I'll do my best, all right? What's that?
None of those cheap things.
None of those cheap things. No, they got to be the real deal, right? And the 30th anniversary. You know, for whatever reason, we seem to attribute these valuable materials to the longevity of marriage. Obviously, 25, silver. 30, pearls. 50, golden anniversaries. You know, these are things that stand the test of time. You take something that is a valuable metal. You take something like a diamond, and that's going to stand the test of time if it's not one of those fake things, right? And obviously, that's what marriage should be. Marriage should be this covenant between a man and a woman underneath the umbrella of the protection and love, the agape love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you ought to be in this thing for life. Amen? Amen? Your marriage ought to stand the test of time. Every one of us ought to have as a goal of ours to be married for 50 years or 60 years or as long as the Lord obviously would allow us to be together. You know, our text here tonight uses a word that I want to key on tonight. He talks about being a vessel unto honor. Honor. In fact, he says in verse number 20, and it almost seems as if that there is an option here. If you choose a certain path, that you'd be a vessel unto honor. But he says if you choose wrongly, it could be a vessel unto dishonor. Both of those words are used here in the phrase. He says a golden or a silver, a valuable metal that'll stand the test of time. Or he said it could be made of wood or hay. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, doesn't it? You, the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says that we are building our lives either with gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble. Let me ask you tonight, what are you building your marriage out of? What are the blocks, the building blocks? What are the pieces, the materials that you and I are using? And may I just say, are you choosing honor above dishonor, vessels unto honor? May I remind you, Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all things, in all. And the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I'm just trying to say tonight that I believe all of us have a choice in this matter. I don't care if you've been married just a month or two or a year or two and you're still kind of on your honeymoon, or if you've been married 50 years, God is allowing you to choose the materials with which you are going to continue to build your home. The Bible says, if you purge yourself. The Bible says in verse 21, he shall be a vessel unto honor if you purge yourself. He goes on to say, if you will be sanctified. That word sanctified means set apart. Can I just say, all of our marriages need to be set apart. Set apart from all others. Set apart from the world. Hey, you understand, when you made that marriage vow, you said, forsaking all others, keep thee only unto you, so long as you both shall live. That's a commitment that was made. That is a vow that was made. That is a promise that was made. It's sanctified. Just like our Christian lives are to be sanctified and set apart. Our marriages are to be purged. Our marriages should be sanctified. The Bible says next that it should be meet for the master's use. The word meet there is just an old English word that means prepared for. Prepared for the purpose of serving the master. Can I just say, every one of our marriages are meant in the Christian realm, are meant to have a purpose to them. It may be that the purpose is to be a good example to those that are following us. Can I just say, those of us that are in ministry, I take this very seriously, and I have since our marriage. You got to understand, we met in Bible college, 1987. And graduated in 1990. I graduated from Bible college on a Friday night. I got ordained the next Sunday night. We got married the next Friday evening. We took our honeymoon and went to our first ministry. We've been in ministry now as long as we've been married, 30 years. We'll celebrate in June. I believe that one of the things that is incumbent upon a man of God is to have the right kind of marriage. I believe one of my purposes is to show what marriage is supposed to look like. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we have the perfect home and we had to have all these perfect little children, you know, and they can never disobey. And, you know, obviously when my kids messed up, it was always mom's fault, right? I mean, it was that bad training she got. No, you know, we don't have perfect children, but we're supposed to be examples. We're supposed to set a good example. You know, you say, preacher, where do you get that from? Well, 1 Timothy 3 says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, one of the things he has to have is to be the husband of one wife, having his children in subjection. I think the home, listen to me, the home is very important for a man of God. Why? I think it's one of our purposes. But can I just say to some of you that have been married a long time, I believe that you likewise have the same purpose to show the right kind of marriage to these young ones that are coming behind us. Hey, look at me. You may not be in ministry, but my friend, these young newlyweds, they're watching folks that have been married 30 and 40 years and they're saying, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? And I hope that we all are good examples. I hope, again, back to the text, I hope that we are purging our marriages and we're sanctifying our marriages, that they are meet for the master's use. And so tonight, I want to just think about this thing of, well, if we're going to have a golden marriage then, all right, if we want to make it to 50 years, then how do we do that? What are the ideas? What are the thoughts? What are the Bible concepts that can help us to get here? I'm going to use just by way of an illustration here before we get to the four main points of what I want to give to you tonight. I read an article years ago in a newspaper and I clipped it out and I've just kind of kept it in a marriage file. And I've not used this in a while. And I started preparing for this message here tonight that it kind of caught in my mind. And I was thinking about this whole thing of a 50-year wedding, a golden wedding anniversary. And there was a book that was written a few years ago that was entitled The Starter Marriage. The Starter Marriage. I'm going to read just a couple of portions from this newspaper article, if I may, just to make the point here tonight. Divorcing before the age of 30 is becoming so common that it is creating a demographic phenomenon called the starter marriage. Wow. This union lasts just a few years and usually ends before the children arrive. Young couples may be together months, not decades, as divorce occurs progressively earlier. 20% of divorces happen in the first 5 years of marriage. That's a sad statistic right there. I don't know about you. Look, after being married 5 years, I'm just kind of getting started. Amen. I'm just kind of learning what I need to be and who I need to be and what this marriage thing is all about. Why would you throw something away that was meant to last a lifetime after only 5 years? But isn't that kind of where our culture has gotten? We're a disposable culture, right? We're a consumer culture. I'm going to use you as long as you're good for me, and then I'm going to throw you away. I'm going to kind of get what I can out of you, and then when you get a little age on you or something changes right there, then I'm going to kind of, you know, it's like the old guy that when he turned 40, he divorced his wife and was going to turn her in for 220s, right? And the wife said, you're not wired for 220. But anyway, my point, I guess, is this thing of before we even get started, we're already backing out of marriages. This, what we call this starter marriage. Divorcing in the first couple of years is a common pattern now. It establishes marriage as a low commitment relationship. Can I just say to you, biblically, marriage is a high commitment relationship. In fact, it is the highest of commitment relationships. Can I say this? Marriage, the love between a man and a woman is patterned after the love that Jesus has for the church. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved them. Aren't you glad Christ didn't stop loving you? Aren't you glad when you messed up, He didn't throw you out on the rubbish bin of life? Amen? Aren't you glad He loves you and He loves you still? And that's the way husbands are to love their wives. And can I say that's the way wives are likewise to love their husbands? It's that companion relationship that we give. Yet many unions are crumbling like stale wedding cake in less time than it takes to plan them. These couples devote over a year to planning the wedding, this huge party, but don't give one thought to the idea that they will be with this partner for the next 50 years. And it goes on to say, and I'm just trying to say that in our culture, it's sad that we are not making these long-term commitments. So how do we make a long-term commitment? I believe that most everybody here tonight, because you've come to this banquet, I asked your preacher, would these be married couples? And I see a lot of gray hairs in this room, and that's awesome. And thank you for your great example of longevity of being married. But let's have a goal of loving our wives and staying married for these 50 years. So how do you do that? I'm going to give you four thoughts. They all are going to have to do with gold in the Bible. All right, since gold is the 50 wedding anniversary, we're going to use gold as our standard here. And I'm going to give you four thoughts about how to prepare for a golden marriage. Number one, we must choose the proper materials. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I referenced that in just a moment ago. It's the passage where the Apostle Paul is laying out the concept of what we call the judgment seat of Christ. And he says, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you're going to give account for the life that you've lived and how you have built that life. He goes on to say in verse number 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Can I just say, please, we're all building our marriages. Every day you're choosing the proper materials. We'll get to that in just a moment. You can choose to lay on that foundation. According to verse 11, that foundation is Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad the foundation of your marriage is not you or your wife, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. The firm foundation upon which to build, he says, but you get to choose the materials. He goes on to say in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, there it is, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Can I just say this, please? I think life reveals, time reveals the type of materials that we've chosen to use in our marriage. That's why sometimes marriages break up too soon. This is why often the marriages don't last the test of time, because we've chosen earthly materials instead of heavenly ones. Gold, silver, precious stones, those are spiritual qualities. Or we can just do the easiest way, just get by a little bit like the world does, wood, hay, and stubble. And my friend, you can't build a foundation, you can't build a life upon wood, hay, and stubble. It'll crumble every time. Hey, when the test of time come, watch. When the winds of adversity blow, when Satan comes against you, and he will try to destroy your spiritual marriage, you better have chosen some proper materials. Gold, silver, and precious stones. I guess my question tonight would be, are you a wise marriage master builder? That's what Paul called himself here. I want to be a wise master builder. I want to be the general contractor, if I can say it that way, building my marriage that will stand the test of time. I can tell you how to have a marriage of almost 30 years, but I'd like to keep building so I have 31 and 32 and 35 and 40 and 50 if the Lord would allow. I want to keep building a strong marriage. And it's according to the materials that I choose to use. Let me use one illustration. In fact, do we have any builders here tonight? I know we've got one young man. He's in the construction trade. Anybody else, you're a builder, maybe by trade? You'll understand this a little more. Obviously, pastors have the oversight sometimes in churches to build things. Obviously, we're seated in a building that just recently has been built in the last 3 years by this church. And I remember how excited Brother Walsh was. And I remember him talking to me about it. And the first time I came up here and got to see the building in construction. Obviously, it's very, very exciting for a church to grow and to build. I had the privilege of building a fairly large building in my prior church in Ohio. I pastored 18 years in Ohio. I've been down in West Virginia now for the last 7 years. And I remember that process of buying property and choosing the general contractor and what the design and the layout was going to be and how this building was going to take place. And I remember in those years, it took about 16 months for us to build that building. You know, I remember that we had to be very wise about some things. It was a $4 million project. It was 41,000 square feet. Pretty large facility. God was very, very good to us. And I remember that we had to choose properly. I was just back there for an ordination service I preached for one of my preacher boys just a few months ago. And I got to go back to that building that the Lord allowed us to oversee and to build. And just looking at that structure, I was like, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to do that. Now, that's one concept. Now, can I fast forward to 2020? I pastor a church that is 80 years old now, and our buildings are over 50 years old. And I've been there 7 years now. We've had to do a lot of remodeling. Someone once said it's a lot easier to build a new facility than it is to remodel an old one, especially one that is 50 years old. You tear out a wall, you're not sure what's behind that wall. You're not sure if is the electric up to code or not. And I use that illustration to say, you know, I wonder if in your marriage, as you've been building your marriage, has there been some shoddy workmanship along the way that really is in need of some spiritual remodeling? You know, some of you that are brand new, okay, some of you newlyweds like Nathan and Sam, now obviously they're not choosing proper materials. You heard Nathan talk about that right there. They're already doomed, are they not? Not just teasing. But listen, they have the opportunity right now. Choose new materials. Choose spiritual materials. Maybe some of you weren't saved before you got married. Maybe there were some bad things that were laid. And can I just say that over the years, obviously God can give you great wisdom to remodel that to be what it should be. I'm just trying to say that you've got to choose the proper materials if your life and marriage is going to last the test of time. What are some of those materials? Love versus lust. Trust versus lies. Kindness versus meanness. Choosing spirituality over worldliness. The things of this world will not last. The things of God will last forever. So let's choose the right materials. Can we go to the second point? Secondly, I'd like to use a passage from Psalm 119. I'm going to say the second thing, if you want to have a golden marriage, is to use the proper handbook. Number one, choose the proper materials. Number two, to use the proper handbook. Remember, we said we're basing all of these passages on the concept of gold. Psalm 119, verse number 72. Listen to what the Bible says. The law of my mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Same passage in verse 127, and the Bible says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Look this way. What's he speaking of there? If you know anything about Psalm 119, it's called the Psalm of the Word. All but two verses of the 176 verses in Psalm 119 have to do with this book right here. Can I just say to you, if you want to have a golden marriage, you got to choose the proper handbook right here. This should be more valuable to you than gold, the Bible says. It should be chosen above the things that the world would tend to value instead of the things that God values. Hey, let me say it this way. The Bible is the best book on relationships you'll ever read. It's the best book on relationships. It tells you, look, can I just say this, please? And I know we live in a culture where marriage is being redefined by every single political agenda, but can I just please tell you what God said about marriage? It was between a man and a woman for a lifetime. It's God's idea. It's God's design. Marriage wasn't Adam's design. It wasn't Eve's design. It was God's design. He said, I'm going to make me a man, and that man is alone now, and it's not good that man is alone. And all the ladies would say, amen right there, right? Men get in trouble when they're alone. He said, I'm going to make an helpmeet for him. And he said, hey, Adam, I want you to go to sleep, and I'm going to take from your rib, your side, a rib, and I'm going to make a woman flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. She shall be called woman. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That was God's idea, folks. So if we go all the way to the beginning of the Scriptures, we will know the very first thing, and we could talk about the law of first mention in the Word of God. The first thing about marriage was between a man and a woman. That was God's idea and God's intention. And so we read throughout the Bible then all of the things that God says. Here's how to make your marriage. Here's how to make it great again. I'm actually teaching a little series I just started last Sunday in my married couples class, and a book that I just found. It was called Making Your Marriage Great Again. And I thought, man, it's a political season. I kind of have heard that phrase before. And although I'm not preaching or teaching about politics, we're going to use that phrase. I want to make my marriage great. And again and again and again and again. Amen.
Yes.
You see, I pastor a fairly large church, and I've got folks from every background. You've got folks who are having marriage trouble, and you got folks that are doing great in their marriage. Look, all of us can work on it. Why? Because we can go back to the handbook about relationships. I'm just saying to you that it's the book that tells us about agape love, and it teaches us about communication and about child rearing and about finances and about intimacy. This is the book that we go to if you want to have a golden marriage. Why? Because the Bible says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Can I say? And before I move on, let me just say, you may have $1 million in the bank and you might have a shoddy marriage. I'd rather have less money in the bank and a better marriage than a lot of money in the bank and a bad marriage. Amen. So I want to choose the proper materials. Number two, I want to use the proper handbook. Number three, and I want to talk plainly to you tonight, if I may, about point number three. I want to maintain the proper perspective. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Let me read a passage in Job chapter 23. And how many of you know Job had some issues and problems in his life, right? A lot of heartache, a lot of trial, lost 10 children in one day, lost all of his health, wealth, lost his health. Even to the point where Job's wife said, just curse God and die. This man went through some difficulties. Listen what Job 23:10 says. I love it. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as, do you know it? Gold. I said, number three, we must maintain the proper perspective. What do I mean by that? As you know, gold must go through fire to be purified. That's what this verse says. He says, Job, I'm going to put you through some hard times. I'm going to allow Satan to come. You remember, the hedge was pulled back and Satan was allowed to come in. Now keep in mind, Satan can only come as far as God lets him. Amen. So for whatever reason, God knew that Job could handle all of the difficulties and the things that were going to take place. I wonder how many times in our marriages things have gotten tough and we've pulled away from each other instead of back towards each other. Or we've even pulled away from God. God, why did you do that? Why did you allow that? Those are the times you need to be closer to God, not farther away from Him. Why? If you're going to have a golden marriage, you've got to maintain the proper perspective. If trials come into your life and marriage, it is to make you better, not bitter.
Amen.
Better, not bitter. And I'm just trying to say, you've got to maintain this, that God is allowing you to be made and tried so you come forth as gold. I did a little research here. If you're married for 50 years, that means you have been married 18,250 days and 438,000 hours. That's where I stopped. The numbers were getting too big to go any farther than that, right? Can I just say, in that many days, there's potential for some heartache, right? In 50 years, there's going to be some potential. Now look, some of you newlyweds, you're living on love right now, right? You don't even need money. Just living on love, man, living on love. Can I just say to you, you've been married a year or two or three or five or 10, you're going to have some hard days. It's going to how many would say amen about that? There's going to be some hard times. Maintain the proper person. Don't bail when things are getting tough.
Yes,
those are the times to come together.
Yes.
Those are the times to realize, I'm not in this alone. We're in this thing together. I wonder how many child-rearing times where man, you're just like, how in the world are we going to do this? This is when mom and dad need to be more unified, not less unified about everything. Financial issues. Maintain the proper perspective because God is making something. I love this statement. I found this. Marriage is like a casserole because only the person who made it knows what went into it. You ever been at a Baptist potluck? And there's like 10 casseroles there. You're saying, okay, I want, number one, I wonder who made that. Don't look at me strange. You say the same thing.
Not out loud.
Not out loud. Not out loud. And then you wonder, what kind of cook are they? And I wonder what's in there. Right? That's a casserole. Can I just say marriage is like that too? On the outside, there may be that crispy crust, but down on the inside, there are things that only you know went into that. And can I say sometimes those are hardships and times of life that are problems, and are we going to make this through? And God, you got to come through for us. And those are the times that make your marriage stronger. Would you agree with me about that? Yeah. You must maintain the proper perspective. And then lastly, and we'll be done tonight. And again, we're using gold as an example. We're going to go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in chapter number 21. Of course, if you know anything about the end of the book there, the Bible begins to talk about heaven and the beauties of heaven. I'm going to read from Revelation 21 in verse number 18. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold. Speaking of the New Jerusalem, speaking of that place that we will reside with God for eternity, heaven. Can I give you the last point here, number four? If you're going to have a golden marriage, number one, we must make sure that we've chosen the proper materials. Number two, use the proper handbook. Number three, have the proper perspective. And number four, we must use the proper pattern. The proper pattern. Do you know that heaven, I believe, is given to us as a pattern of perfection? But can I bring marriage into it? The same chapter, Revelation 21, verse number 2, likens the New Jerusalem, watch this, to a bride that is prepared for her husband. So there's the marriage analogy there. He says, I want you to know that heaven is a place. And can I just remind you, Jesus has been there preparing for us a place the last 2,000 years. Is that what he said? Remember when he went back? He said, hey, don't worry guys, I'm coming back. But right now, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine? 2,000 years. Some of you builders, you think you build a nice pretty building or a nice beautiful house. Can you imagine what Jesus Christ has been doing for 2,000 years where we will be for all of eternity? And he says, I just want you to know that heaven was built after the pattern of a bride that is adorned for her husband, as lovely as that bride-to-be looks. We've got a wedding in 6 weeks of my daughter, and obviously the dress was a big deal, right? I was such a good dad, I actually went to the dress shops with Mom and Caitlin. Can you believe that? And watched her try on so many of them, and she found the dress, the dress. And I can't wait to walk my daughter down the aisle with that dress prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And God said, that's what heaven's like. And he said, I just want you to know that there's a pattern that has been made for you to follow as an example for your marriage. I'm kind of thinking of the Old Testament tabernacle. A lot of gold was used there as well. And God said to Moses as he was fashioning the tabernacle, I want you to fashion it after the pattern that is shown to you in the mount. Here's what God is saying. I'm done. He says, look, I've given you a handbook here. I've given you a blueprint book. This is the pattern I want you to make for your marriage. Right here. He said, and I want you, watch this, and I'm done. I want you to have this concept that even though you're here on this earth, I want you to know that you can taste a little bit of heaven here. Mm-hmm. If you'll follow this book, marriage ought to be a little taste of heaven until we get there. I understand we're not perfect and we're going to mess up and we're going to say things we ought not say, right? Nathan, and we're going to mess up and we're going to make some bad choices. But he says, look, I'd like you to really, if you want a golden marriage, I want you to make sure that you're following this proper pattern. This golden pattern that says, here's how you communicate. Here's what you do with your finances. Here's how you love your spouse. Here's how you forgive. Here's how you don't allow the problems of life to allow you to be bitter. He says this book right here allows that pattern to be laid in front of you, and you say, as a husband and wife, we're not going to do it like the world does it. Can I just say, don't do it. Don't pattern your marriage after the world. Don't get your marriage advice from the man down in the factory that you work with that's been married 5 times. Okay, bad advice, right? Bad advice. Get your advice from somebody that's going to take it from the Scriptures, making this golden pattern what we strive for. Question, how heavenly is your marriage right now? How heavenly is it? Is it a little taste of heaven? Is it special? Is it sweet? Is it spiritual? Well, tonight, I'd like all of us to be able to make 50 years. And those of you who've made 50, maybe shoot for 60 and 70. I've got a family in my church. They're in their mid-90s. They just celebrated their 73rd wedding anniversary. And they come toddling into church together every Sunday morning. And they sit down. I love them. 73 years. That's a pretty good goal, I think, all of us ought to have. Amen? How to have a golden wedding anniversary. I hope we all will use these truths to help us to make sure we have that kind of a marriage. Would you bow your head with me, please? Would you just ask the Lord tonight, Lord, help us this evening to allow the words of God to be found in our lives, that the Scriptures would be plain, the truths would be so clear, and that we would take every other distraction that this world throws at our marriages, and that we would only look to the Word of God for our help. How many of you would say, Pastor, I want to have that kind of a golden marriage? That would be a goal of ours. But here's the thing. But I'm going to do what I know I should do to purge it, to sanctify it, to set it apart, to be meet for the Master's use. I want to have a honored marriage like God wants us to. And who would say, Pastor, that's me, that's our desire. And maybe just an uplifted hand to say, that's what I want in my marriage. And I hope that it is. Father, bless us all. Lord, bless my marriage. Help me on my 30th anniversary coming up here in June. Lord, that we would not just mark it as a milestone, but God, that we would continue to grow in love together. And Lord, I pray that there's one here that doesn't know Jesus as his or her Savior, that we would understand that's where it's got to start. That foundation that was laid by Jesus Christ. But may we build upon that foundation all of these principles we've spoken of tonight. Bless, I pray, and as only we can when we come to you for our help. May this be the case in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you enjoy that? Amen. I appreciate that. If you don't know Christ your Savior, that's where it all starts.
Yes, amen.
Now, it's more than just praying a prayer, more than just some empty words. By the way, if all you did was say a few words when you stood at the marriage altar, you'll be saying a lot of words for the rest of your life. And that's not what we need. But it all starts when you receive Christ, and then let Him grow you. You know, you always say, well, you know, all these self-help books on how to have a good marriage and this and that and other thing. Go to Galatians 5 and get the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
And you, men, you lead your wives and wash from the water of the Word. You may present her to you like the church, without spot or wrinkle. No. I'm not talking about outside wrinkles. You accept all those. But inside wrinkles. By the way, we have our own wrinkles too. The Lord leads us into being what we need to be for Christ, and we lead our wives. As I really believe a lot of women, I'll be honest with you, you know who I think is the fault of most of the women's lib movement and the feminists and so forth? I think it's the men's fault.
Yeah.
Because we didn't treat the women like we were supposed to treat them in the first place.
Yeah.
No wonder they need to go out and find something else. And I think most ladies, if they have any character at all, have no problem, as the Lord said, following a husband who follows Christ. I really believe that. And so I appreciate that. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, we didn't really speak about that tonight. I didn't ask Him to, and there's a fault there. But if you need to get that settled, We can help you get that settled before you leave tonight. The most important part of that marriage is your own personal walk with the Lord. Now, I know that he said he went to help pick out the dress. I really think he went to make sure they didn't spend too much.
Well, there's that. That is true. It is true.
I appreciate you all being here tonight. God bless you. If we'll of course be back in church tomorrow. And if you're visiting with us and you don't have a regular place to go to church, we'd love to have you come visit with us and come back and see us again. And especially if you're a young couple, we have of course a Sunday school class with Brother Meyer and his wife Amy. Raise your hand there, and they meet in room 108, right there in the other building. And the Family of Faith class, and so I encourage you to do that, but other classes as well. Encourage you to do that, and we had a nice group, had breakfast last week. We're not having breakfast this week. You always have a few goodies in there, but not the big thing this week. Of course, if you twist his arm, you might do it again. But anyway, but I really encourage you to be part of that. Now, if we could have a few folks to help tear down, how do you want to handle those centerpieces? Do you want to set them on the platform, have a lady bring them over to the platform? They're full of water.
Yes, right here. We can dump them back there.
Well, where do you want them to take the centerpieces to?
The back table.
The back table.
The back table. Okay, so if one of the ladies or someone from each table would take the centerpieces, blow out the candle, and take it to the back table where we serve, and the ladies will take care of those. Everything else, except the silverware, well, it's not silver anymore, but the utensils we want to keep those, all right? They're all metal. So make sure those get gathered up and taken to the kitchen. The tablecloths are also keepers, all right? And then if we can get a couple guys to help us fold the tables and chairs up, and Brother Nathan, can you help us? Maybe we get some carts there, and we can get this thing cleaned up. And I appreciate it. They can set this up. Now, all these chairs we want to take out, right? Okay, then we'll bring the metal chairs in for tomorrow for Children's Church. And how many of the long tables do you want to keep down there? We'll keep all those. Well, yeah. So just the round tables. Now, the little yellow cards, some of you were glad to see and some of you weren't glad to see. The number that you went to the buffet. Don't throw those out. In fact, gather those all up and we'll bring those up. You all understand? All right, before we go, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. I thank you again for you all being here. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be together. I appreciate these folks. I love them very much. And Lord, we thank you for the love that you give us and the love that we can share with one another. Pray that you'll help us to take these truths that we learned here this evening. Thank you so much for Brother Bain. And thank you for his willingness there at Shenandoah Bible Baptist. And of course, taking over the Association of Baptist Church Schools and overseeing that for us as well. And thank you so much for Ms. Karen, allowing him to do all those kind of things and supporting all that. Thank you so much for these truths we learned tonight. Lord, help us to use them and take them home with us. The Lord, use us for your honor and your glory. Bring us back tomorrow, and we'll give you the praise for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you so, folks. I appreciate it. Have a great evening.